Investigative journalists for the Associated Press, Robin McDowell and Margie Mason, took off with a sweeping two-year AP investigation into prison labor that tied hundreds of millions of dollars worth of agricultural products to goods sold on the open market. In their investigation, the journalists discovered that prison laborers are the most vulnerable to exploitation. The findings cement a precedent that explains the legalization of mass prisoner labor exploitation. This precedent details how mass prisoner labor exploitation has remained constant and continues to exist. They show that in the Constitution, by the 13th Amendment, slavery and involuntary servitude are banned except as punishment for a crime. And although companies may violate their own policies by producing their goods through prison labor, the clause protects them legally. The prisoner laborers are facing constant risks when working towards company production because their jobs and tasks are inhabited by industries with severe labor shortages. And according to the Associated Press, these work sites are often the country's dirtiest and most dangerous work environments. Prisoners are also prevented from striking, as they risk their chance at parole or can face punishment like being sent to solitary confinement. Correction officials and other proponents remark that in some cases, prisoner labor saves taxpayer money by serving prison and shelter kitchens. The officials also remark how the labor would reduce sentence times or teach skills applicable to the world outside of prison. Critics respond to the officials' comments saying, quote, "Incarcerated people should be paired fairly, treated humanely, and that all work should be voluntary," and that although prisoners might garner special skills, their criminal records inhibit their job search. Law professor Andrea Armstrong, an expert on prison labor at Loyola University New Orleans, voices that the prisoners, quote, "are not learning skills that will help them when they are released." Last year, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation worked to challenge the unfair treatment of Californian prisoner labor. The department proposed a plan to double prisoner wages. This decision would help accommodate for 55% of prisoner wages being allocated to supporting their families, repaying damages resulting from their crimes, and other restitution costs. According to the LA Times, 40% of California's 96,000 prisoners have jobs while they serve their sentences. The prisoners' workload consists of laundry, janitorial work, clerking, and construction. Their wages range from 8 to 37 cents per hour, depending on the skill required for a certain job. However, the wage increase would only raise hourly wages by a few nickels and dimes, and overall daily wages would increase by a few dollars. The LA Times provides an account of California State Senator Stephen Bradford. He states that the low pay, quote, "has made it increasingly difficult for incarcerated people just to provide for their basic needs in prison, be it deodorant or toothpaste, to help pay their restitution that is owed to victims, helping their families, or even staying in contact with their families using the phone." The two journalists also reported their findings, tying prison labor to the supply chains of several of the world's biggest companies. AP News also reports of Alabama prisoners that would be leased out by poultry plant companies. Companies such as Tyson Foods, which owns brands such as Hillshire Farms, Jimmy Dean and Sara Lee, and America's largest private company, Cargill, amassed a record $177 billion revenue in its fiscal year of 2023. Other states and private companies withheld their correlations with prisoner laborers. Reporters followed prisoner import vehicles to large plantations attempting to uncover further ties between prison labor exploitation and the food industry. Prisoners would be dropped off everywhere from giant meat processing plants to a small chicken and daiquiri restaurant. The prisoners would enter these restaurants to carry out tasks like washing dishes. Work relations made between prisoners and companies are cemented by work release programs. These programs will contract prisoners to companies, in turn, sheriffs gain profit, garnering $10 to $20 a day for each state prisoner they house in local jails. According to AP News, the sheriffs, quote, "can deduct more than half of the wages earned by those contracted out to companies, which stream in sizable revenue for small county jails." A Louisiana sheriff pleaded guilty in 2021 for participating in a scheme involving the privatization of a work release program. Former longtime sheriff Jack Strain had amassed $1.4 million and funneled the profit to himself, friends, and family. His involvement in the scheme resulted in a 10-year sentence on top of four consecutive life sentences for other exploitations of his prisoners. And efforts are being made to challenge prisoner labor exploitation. Former Louisiana State Prison convict of 25 years, Curtis Davis, is working to change state laws that allow forced prison labor. AP News provides an account of his reason for change, relaying that slavery has not been abolished. It is still operating in present tense. Nothing has changed. This was Brandon Yee for KCSB News.